Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
In the spirit of the holiday season, we've decided to put aside our differences.
To stop comparing ourselves and just be ourselves.
Yeah, stop saying that one is better than the other.
To understand that one does important work while the other wastes his time with frivolous pursuits like home movies and blogs.
PC, what about putting aside our differences?
Sorry, it just slipped out. System error.
You know what? Let's stop all the infighting. Pull it into Hog Harbor.
Happy holidays, Mac.
Happy holidays, PC.
Welcome to the Coldcast Eat Best 30 Plus Spin Album Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. That's better. It's me, your host, Eric Bonalagio. Joining me today, he's always trying to steal your princess and ruin your party. Leander Caney is here.
Pizza pie.
Pizza pie. Leander.
I'm Mario.
Also joining us, if Leander is Bowser, I guess that would make him one of those little turtle guys or one of those little mushroom dudes. What are those things called? You guys don't. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey! Yeah, one of those little turtle guys. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, Mini Koopas?
Koopa. Oh, yeah.
Mini Koopas? You guys clearly aren't Super Mario Brothers fans.
Clearly not.
Have you ever even played a Super Mario Brothers game, Lewis?
I've played Donkey Kong on arcade.
You played the original.
Yeah.
The original Super Mario Brothers game. I think that's how it all started.
Yeah, that's where I burned out my wrists, man, in the arcades back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not tossing tapping any time. I don't have to tap these days.
Did you have just a crazy-ass mullet and a Van Halen t-shirt?
You've seen the pictures, huh? Oh, my God.
You're just thrown in the quarters one after another, impressing all the ladies with your... with your King Kong skills, Donkey Kong Country. Wait, what's it called? Donkey Kong.
Yes, it was called Donkey Kong. And I had a friend who his father owned an arcade, so we would get roll after roll free tokens. It was heaven.
Dude, that is like every kid's
dream. Right, exactly, yeah.
That would be amazing. I would still love that today if I could go into an arcade and play all those arcade games for free.
Yeah, it was sweet.
That would be amazing. So what was your favorite game then?
Oh my God, I got to think way back. I always liked playing Joust in the arcade. That was a fun one.
That was a fun game.
God, we played them all, you know, and they had new machines in every few months or something. And I remember when they had that one with the laser discs. I can't remember what that was called, but one of the first, I think it may have been the first game with the laser discs and you know, knights and all this. It was really.
I don't
weird.
Even remember there being an arcade game with a laser disc.
Really?
Even the game came on a laser disc?
Yeah.
So how would you even get to see that? Wouldn't it be locked away from your nasty little greasy fingers?
Yeah, it's a good point. Especially yours, particularly.
It was like a kind of a role-playing game, or you know, you would, you know, and it was a, you know, make a decision, do this, do that, and you know, the next thing happens or doesn't. I have to find out
It sounds really fun.
Oh, man, it was cutting edge.
Have you ever thought about being a video game reviewer?
No.
If this whole Apple thing doesn't work out, I think you could have an illustrious career describing video game play. Yeah, I've never played one with a laser disc. Although, what an ingenious idea. Instead of putting in a quarter, you have to, go buy a laser disc for this big machine. And then if you die, you know, it just breaks the laser disc into pieces and you have to go buy another one for $20. Is that how it worked?
No, it was an arcade game.
Oh, you just tossed in your quarters?
Yeah, same as ever. I'm going to have to look up what the name of it was now, because now it's like I've just remembered a lost part of my youth. Not that this was a...
I just brought it back.
Yeah, wow.
You're going to start crying. Remember the good old days.
Start.
Well, we've got so much great stuff to talk about this week. You know, it's the end of the year, so we're going to be wrapping up every show between now and the end of the year with our favorite stuff of 2016. And this week, if you stay tuned until the end, we're going to be doing our favorite television of 2016. And Leander, you're over the moon about this. I don't think I've ever seen you so excited to talk about any topic. Like, you were so excited last week, and then this week you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to tell you so much TV. So I'm like,
I was glued in front of the box all year.
Were you?
No.
So do you have some good shows ready to share with everyone?
Yeah, there were some great shows, yeah. So okay. I got a couple of good shows to share.
You know, I don't really feel like I have that many picks, but maybe...
I'll make up for it. I'll pick a few for you.
I could pitch one for sure, and Lewis, you've got one too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that show? Perfect Strangers?
Perfect Strangers. To me, that's a
Can
deep
we ever get
album.
At least one person on this show who has seen that show? Because I reference it occasionally and no one ever knows what I'm talking about.
Well, is that the one with Tom Hanks or something?
No. Oh, I don't remember. I remember the show that you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it. But Balky Bartokamus, no bells. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, never seen it.
Well, you should. They've got episodes on YouTube. You should check it out.
Can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. You should definitely go do that immediately after the show. Before we hop into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Jamf Now for supporting this episode. Jamf Now is a cloud-based mobile device management solution for iPads, iPhones, Macs, and the like in your workplace. It's going to turn you into the IT god of your workplace. Everyone's going to worship you for being the IT puppet master that you are. Jamf Now makes device management accessible and affordable for everyone so businesses can support their users without help from IT. Check this out. You can configure settings on all of your Apple devices quickly and consistently over the air and manage your devices by essentially deploying apps anytime from anywhere. Jamf Now, you can use Jamf Now to ensure the sensitive company information your employees access on their Apple devices remains secure. You can enforce passcodes and encryption over the air, even remotely lock or wipe your device. Sound like something you could use in your business? You can see how easy it is to set up, manage, and secure your Apple devices anytime from anywhere. Manage your first three devices free, and you can add more devices for just $2 per month for each device, 2 ducats per device per month, aka $2. You can check it out yourself. You can sign up for your free account today at jamf.com/cultcast. That's J-A-M-F, Jamf, jamf.com/cultcast. And Lander, you have a very special little announcement, something you wanted to promote as well, right?
Hot off the press. It's hot. It's super hot.
Oh my goodness. Leonard just licked his finger and touched his tush. That was the sound that you heard.
And wait till you check it out. Yeah, it's our new Apple Watch accessory store.
For the Cultimac Apple Watch accessory store.
Right. And it can be found at store.cultofmac.com. And it's the idea is that we're going to be selling all the best stuff that we see for your Apple Watch, all the best bands, all the best chargers, all the best stands. You know, because I got it because I went on to Amazon and I bought a steel band, and it was really cheap. It was like $6 or something, and I was like, oh, this is a steel, and I put it on, and immediately it ripped all the hair out of my arm, and gave me a rash, and so. You know, there's a lot of stuff on, and that's been my experience on Amazon, right? You know, you go around, you look, and there's a lot of stuff on there. There's a lot of bands, there's a lot of accessories, and you know, a lot of them are very, very cheap. They're very, very, they're a lot cheaper than Apple, anyway. You know, like a lot cheaper than Apple's goods, but they're not very good. And so I thought that we're looking and we're reviewing all this stuff and we're seeing good and bad. And so it was a really good idea to have, you know, I hate the word, but curated shop, you know.
Why do you hate that word? I like that word. That's exactly what it is. It's a great idea.
It just reminds me of, you know,
a snob, a total
Brooklyn
total
hipsters. Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's we're only selling the stuff that we've looked at and we've reviewed and that we can recommend.
And there's some nice stuff in there. I was perusing the store and I saw several things that I would proudly wear.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole range of prices too. It's not just like a bunch of cheap garbage. Like there is some, there's some affordable stuff in there. There's some stuff that's more expensive and nicer quality. I mean, there's a whole range of stuff.
Right. Well, the nice quality stuff, you know, a good example is Duke Designs. It's a guy in Hong Kong. He's been in the watch industry forever, and he makes these really, really nice steel bands. And they're based on designs for Swiss watch companies. So there's one called the Locano, which is based on an IWC, an international watch company design. That he's making for a couple hundred bucks. It's like $220. It depends on, you know, the finish you have on it. He has gunmetal polished. There are some with stripes, with rose gold, some with black. It's a beautiful piece of jewelry. I mean, there's like 69 parts, I think, in each bracelet.
69? Sorry, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like $200 compares really favorably to what Apple is charging for its
Well, that's kind of how you have to look at it, right? I mean, if you're going to buy, like, the Link bracelet, how much is that thing? I think it's over $300.
Oh, I think it's four. Okay. Yeah. Apple's one is $400, and this is definitely comparable to Apple's, but easily. You know, made by, a craftsman, and they're really beautifully put together. These guys' bands are great, and they're half the price of what you would pay for Apple's bands.
Okay, well, what's the URL, dude?
Oh, so it's a store.
Quit leaving us. Stop. You're leaving us hanging.
Yeah, store.cultofmac.com.
Store.cultofmac.com. Great. Right. And I'll include that in the show notes for those of you with amnesia and can't remember that very simple URL, store.cultofmac.com.
Good
it will
idea.
Also be in the
Good
show
idea.
Notes. Of course, you won't remember that I said that, so it won't matter.
I'm really excited about some of the other stuff we've got coming up because, I mean, we've got a whole bunch of stuff coming up that, unfortunately, we launched this, you know, just at the holiday crunch.
Yeah.
And so some of the people we wanted to work with were like, you know, we're super busy and, you know,
totally.
Hopefully we'll get them included in the new year. There's a bunch of great stuff coming from, like in Europe especially, there's some beautiful stuff that you can't really get, you know, in France and in Italy. It's not easy to get here. So hopefully we'll bring that to the States. I'm really excited.
So you'll be constantly updating it with more stuff.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a whole bunch of things to add. Yeah.
I mean, is it going to be just Apple Watch stuff or are you guys expanding out?
Just Apple Watch stuff. I think, you know, I think it's a good idea to keep it focused and keep it, you know, like really concentrate on stuff that we like. And the Apple Watch, I mean, despite all the reports, the Apple Watch, I think, is going gangbusters. I think that, you know, the orders are like, what, they're 2 or 3 weeks? You can't even get them for, you know, it's too late now to get them for the holidays.
Are they sold out for the holidays? Really?
I believe so. I have to check, you know, but I saw something last night that said that they, you know, that there was quite a long shipping time.
Wow.
For them. I, you know, people are saying there's a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of misinformation about the Apple Watch, but I think it's, you know, I think it's a big, big hit. And it's only going to get bigger. So I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. And, you know, as you said, the big thing with Apple Watch accessories is you're always trying to find stuff that is a good price, that is high quality. And you never really know if what you're buying is high quality, even though it might be a low price. And there's tons of cheap crap out there that you can buy.
Exactly.
And it's impossible to know if it's good or not until you buy it. So I think a curated store is a good service for people.
Right, definitely. And the stuff I got on Amazon, you know, had a lot of really good customer reviews. So I was really surprised.
Right.
But it was just junk garbage.
It's so weird how that works. I think Amazon is clamping down on like fake reviews or people who are trading reviews for like free or discounted products.
Right.
But even like Yelp, man, how many times have you looked on Yelp and found a restaurant that had really good reviews and then gone to eat there and it was like dog chow.
Yeah.
And you're like, how does this place have a 5-star review?
Right.
And it's awful, awful, awful. You know, someone should call the health department and have them raid this place.
Mission Chinese was my experience. Yeah, that's like one of the hottest restaurants in America last year.
Oh, really? And did it just give you explosive diarrhea afterwards?
It was vile. No, it was just vile. We couldn't even choke it down.
After
waiting like an hour and a half outside to get in, which is really ridiculous.
I've had that experience over and over and over again with Yelp. It's just really unbelievable. So it's hard to trust the reviews. So I'm a big fan of curation. And I think that you should probably grow a long mustache and start twisting it, you know. You could have Alex and Heath help you.
Yeah,
now that he lives in Brooklyn, he can teach you how to be a total snob.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on to some Apple news. Man, if you haven't downloaded it yet and then you were wondering what the heck my strange opening greeting was from, Mario Run, Nintendo's first major iOS game ever. I think this is a day to put in the history books. I mean, this, if you're a Nintendo fan especially, this is Nintendo's first major franchise outside of a Nintendo Entertainment Console. And I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and say that you guys haven't downloaded it yet, have you?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. It's really fun. I'm genuinely surprised. When I heard that you could only play with one hand and it was kind of a tap-based game, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is going to be kind of lame. It's not going to be a fun Mario game. It's going to be a gimped experience. And that is not at all what it's been like so far. Now, I want to temper my enthusiasm by saying I've only played it for a total of 10 minutes. So it's possible in another 10 minutes I will become completely bored and never want to play the game again. But it does have a lot of levels in it, and it's free. You can download it, and they do charge for stuff. There's a pay-to-play mechanism in there somehow. I think you can pay for more levels. But as somebody who's played a lot of Mario games in his life, and one of my first game console ever was the Nintendo Entertainment System, and like many of you listening, I had to beg my mom for it for like a year, and I finally got it for my birthday, and I was so excited I practically cried. And of course, one of the first games I played, Super Mario Brothers, it has that same magical, youthful feel to it. Like, you feel like a kid when you're playing it. It's easy to play, it's fun to play, and it's got a lot of like cool little Mario mechanisms built into it. And it's free. So there's no reason not to download it.
Well, I'm going to download it right now. You just sold me on it. In fact, I'm going to spend the rest of the podcast playing. So.
Yeah, actually, you probably will. We'll hear it in the background, though. So maybe you should wait till after the show before downloading it. We got another hot release this week, and that is the AirPods finally are going to be shipping. If you order them, right when they came out, you'll be getting them by Christmas time. I think they said you'll be getting them by December 21st.
Yeah.
But the freaking wait times shot up. I think within a few hours, they were shipping in 4 weeks, and now they're shipping in six weeks.
6 weeks, right, yeah. I thought I ordered a pair. Like, you know, the minute the news came out,
yeah,
I just went and checked. Oh, yeah, you know, I saw that you said they were going to be coming for the 21st. And I was like, oh, that's a nice little Christmas surprise. Let me check the store to see, you know, where they're coming along. I looked in, it says no orders. I must have messed it up somehow. I must have not completed it.
I've done that before, too, and you're like scrambling to find it. Well, let me tell you my theory here. So, everyone who wanted to get AirPods and are bummed that you can't, here's exactly what's going on. The reason that the delivery dates are being pushed out so far is because, think about it, you know, you have Christmas right around the corner, you have, you know, Hanukkah right around the corner. Apple wants to make sure as many of these as possible are going to be in the stores.
Right, yeah.
So I think if you walk in, Apple said the AirPods will be available for purchase at Apple stores by next week. So perhaps even when you're listening to this, they'll be available at the Apple store as well as at authorized resellers and select carriers. So I think Apple's prioritizing store stock over shipping stock.
Yeah, good point.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think definitely true, yeah.
So I think you'll be able to roll in there and just grab a pair.
And they said, what, next week? But that was kind of a little bit, you know, what does next week mean? Monday?
Friday, probably.
Friday, yeah.
Friday at 5. What time is your Apple store closed? It'll be an hour before that that they become available.
Yeah, they're going to be answering the phones all week, aren't they, to find out where those are.
Yeah, because they were encouraging people to call their Apple stores and you know, see if they had them in stock. But, I mean, you can do that in the app, can't you, on the iPhone app, and you can just reserve them and have them, you know, available to pick up in the store. Can't you?
Okay, good point. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Right, buy them in the app and then say you'll pick up at the store.
I can hear you playing that game, by the way. Are you playing it right now? I hear coins being captured.
Mario.
I'm actually impressed. You're able to complete your sentences and everything. There's no way I would be able to do that.
I'm not like Nixon. I can you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. I said, yeah, stumbling on that.
I would be talking like this.
I was just going through the whole setup thing.
Oh, you haven't actually begun playing yet.
No.
Yeah, super fun game. So, Leander, are you going to be purchasing them, the AirPods? I know I keep asking you, but you're still in for a pair?
Yeah, I'd like to get a pair for sure. Me too. Oh, my God, this is the, you know, what do they call them? Hearables. This is the Hearables Revolution. I can't lose out on
the
that.
The Hearables Revolution. I haven't heard that word yet. What does that mean?
You know, it's wearables, but they're hearables. They put stick in your ear. In fact, Lewis, why don't you tell Fun about those hearables you checked out? Was it yesterday?
Yeah, the IQ Buds from New Hera. Yeah.
Okay. And nobody's right off them, right? The tongue, doesn't it?
I don't know. IQ Buds, that's not bad. I think that's an okay name.
Okay. New Hera, and I don't know. They're wireless earbuds?
They are fully wireless, one in each ear, and they sound awesome. They cost more than AirPods. Yeah, they do. They sound great. I mean, the thing that makes them different is that they, you know, they're not just what the New Hera people they call AirPods and things like that, dumb plugs, because they all those do is just reproduce sound, right? These things are actually designed so that A, you can hear other things around you. You can like set the mix of like, I want to hear 80% my music, 20% the bus that's about to kill me while I'm trying to cross a sidewalk.
Oh, interesting. So it will pipe in some of your ambient audio?
Yes.
It's like a mix of a hearing aid and a pair of sound earbuds.
Wow,
right?
Now they sound really cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, they are definitely going for people, you know, men like between, like, this is a crowdfunding thing, big hit crowdfunding on Indiegogo. And the main group of people that ordered these things was like men 35 to 60. You know, guys who, almost all of us who have some hearing loss of some sort, you know, whether it's from, you know, just getting older or listening
too
to
much rock.
Yeah, I mean, right. 25 years of bass, drum, and cymbals right in your ears. But so these things are one of the biggest problems that a lot of people who have any sort of hearing loss, and frankly, these days, I don't even think you have to have hearing loss. You go to a restaurant, and it's like you're in the middle of a war zone, you know, complete cacophony. You're trying to talk to someone, and you're, you know, it's impossible. These things, you can adjust it as you're using it, but it's amazing. You can actually hear people talk in a crowded restaurant, you know, and, you know, there's all kinds of people who could benefit from this kind of thing, you know, aside from just people who want to sit in a bar and have a conversation. But, you know, think about bartenders. I've worked in a bar. I used to work in a bar and a nightclub. And you're like, hey, what do you want? You know, and you're like trying to read lips. You know, it's impossible because it's just so loud. So I don't know. I think these things are going to retail for $299, and they're going to be shipping them to backers of their Indiegogo campaign by the end of this year. They're going to be coming out sometime early in 2017. I mean, they're more expensive than AirPods. They sound really good. I don't know what AirPods are going to sound like. I've heard mixed reviews on that, never actually experienced them myself, but I don't know. Would you
say these things sound better than your current AirPods? Do you have AirPods currently?
You know, I don't use the AirPods because I don't like the way they feel in my ear.
Interesting.
And that makes me think that I'm not going to like the way AirPods feel either.
No, you won't, because they're going to be the exact same shape and size.
Yeah. And these things, I don't know if you've ever seen Soul Republic makes some similar type of things, completely wireless ear things. And, you know, they're like, I don't know, the size of a grape or something with a little nubbin sticking out with a silicone tip or whatever. And you just put it in your ear and turn it a little bit, and it sits in your ear. I mean, I when I first tried these, the first one I tried was Soul Republic, and I was like, I can't believe that's going to stick in your ear. It's going to fall out, which is one of the things everybody was worried about with AirPods, right? Well, it's weird. They go in there, they're totally snug, they're totally comfortable. To me, they're more comfortable than a lot of regular earbuds that I've worn. I don't know. I'm pretty jazzed about this whole wireless earphone thing. I mean, the ones I've tried so far, those two, they both sound good. That extra, you know, smart stuff that the IQ buds have is pretty interesting to me as somebody who's definitely gone into a restaurant and been unable to hear what the hell's going on. I think there's it's a brave new world, you know, the whole hearables thing. Leander's right.
Hearables.
You're going to be hearing about hearables.
What did you say these things were called again?
They're called IQ buds.
IQ buds by New Era.
New Era. N-U-H-E-A-R-A.
I'll put it in the show notes. IQ buds. And they're on Kickstarter, so
Indiegogo,
have they
been
funded?
That's over, as far as I know. And I mean, they're fulfilling by the end of this year to the people who ordered them through that.
Oh, and you just happened to get hooked up early.
Yeah, you know, we're here in the heart of the technology world, you know,
right.
So we got a little demo the other day.
That's cool. Okay, well, I'll put those in the show notes if people want to check them out. Yeah, I'm excited about wireless earbuds too. I'm ready. I'm ready to not have wires anymore, and I'm ready to try out the AirPods. It's been a long time since they've been introduced. Well, it feels like it's been a long time. I guess it really hasn't been that long, maybe a couple months. But they're overpriced, you know, like with tax, they're $176, which is, man, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot for a pair of earbuds that don't sound better than the ear pods do. but I'm going to withhold judgment until I try them out, and I'm going to be very curious to hear what you think, Leander. I think the convenience factor alone is going to be worth the higher price, even though you're not getting the audio quality of a pair of $175 headphones or earbuds. I think the convenience factor alone is going to make it worth it. But we'll see about that. Let's talk about some updates to iOS and tvOS. Just real quickly, we got two updates this week. We got iOS 10.2, and if you haven't installed that yet, it is available for you in the settings app, and you can update your phone, and you will get magically more than 100 new emoji, including characters for shrug, avocado, which is one I'm not sure why anyone would need, gorilla, which will be handy for sure, shark, and unbelievably, we haven't yet until this day had bacon. And the one that I've been using the most, and I don't know if this came in iOS 10.2, but I've been noticing that other people don't have it. It's the clown face, like the smiley clown face.
Whoa.
That's like my new favorite smiley face. It's what I use for everything now.
I haven't seen
like,
that.
I don't want to just smile at you. I got to smile with the clown
face.
Where
do you find it? Whereabouts?
If you go into the faces section, it's right below the guy with the sunglasses and above the guy with the cowboy hat. You see it?
Oh, I'm trying to look now. I spent hours oh, there it is. Yeah, you're right.
There he is.
That's pretty
little
friendly.
Smiley dude.
A little bit sinister too, though.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, hey.
Right, he's got a bit of that, you know, the doll under the bed with the knife that drags you under when you dangle your legs over.
I love it, though. It's like, you know, when just a regular smile won't do, you could send someone something a little bit more enthusiastic. And then there's the guy with the cowboy hat that you could send to all your male stripper friends. They'll appreciate that.
Right.
So you get a bunch of emoji and then, of course, bug fixes and some new wallpapers and stuff.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was looking for the new wallpapers. I couldn't see any.
Yeah, what the heck? I was looking for those earlier, too. They look exactly the same to me.
That's what I thought. And there's not really that many, are there, like, to choose from?
Just trust us. They're in there somewhere. Also, you get tvOS 10.1. This update brings the Apple TV app to the Apple TV. And actually, iOS 10.2 also brings you the TV app if you haven't yet gotten your hands on that. And I'm sure some people are excited about this, but it doesn't really do much for me. The Apple TV still hasn't really been a killer device for me because I don't have cable. So do you have cable, Leander? I think
you actually do. Yeah, yeah.
Have you played around with this yet?
The TV app? I couldn't sign in. When I tried to sign in, it crashed. And it wouldn't let me go through with it. So I never did. I'm just looking at it now.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if you had a hands-on review of it. What about you, Lewis? Do you have cable?
Yeah. Have not tried the new TV app, if that's what you're saying.
Okay. Do you have an Apple TV?
Yeah.
Do you have the newest Apple TV?
Yeah, I do. I really should just fire that thing up, shouldn't I?
You should definitely do that. You should install Mario Run. There's so many things for you to do after the show.
Single sign-in doesn't work with, or single sign-on doesn't work with Comcast.
Like one of the biggest cable providers.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Comcast.
Really? It doesn't work with Comcast at all?
Nope. There's a list of, you can go into the app. I actually have checked into this. I mean, unless they changed it in the last day or so, the list of people that you can use for the single sign-on, it's, you know, Dish Network, I think, and DirecTV, and a couple of other cable providers. But
wow. I find that to be unbelievable.
Yeah, there's some big holes.
That's like the biggest hole. I mean, Comcast is one of the biggest cable providers in the country. That's unbelievable to me.
Well, you know, I mean, this is the problem with all this TV stuff. There's so many partnerships and, you know, this person has this with that and whatever. I mean, you know, it's maddening. I honestly, lately we've been using Roku more than Apple TV. Why? Because Amazon Prime Video is on Roku.
Amazon Video, same for us. Like, I had to plug in my Chromecast just so I could watch it because apparently Amazon Amazon is never going to get over their feud with Apple, so they're just not going to release an app, which really sucks. And it's really just gimping the Apple TV. The Apple TV could be so awesome, but yeah, that and then like the cable TV stuff. I mean, I still think it's a great device. It has the best interface, bar none, of any device that I've seen that you can use to interact with your TV. It's the easiest to use. But basically, I just use mine for Plex and Netflix, and that's it. And the unfortunate thing is, I feel like Apple TV has come about, has really hit its stride and for the death rattle of cable television. Because everyone is moving away from cable television and network television. I mean, for most people, the ability to hook up your cable TV isn't going to be a useful feature for them because they don't have cable TV. I haven't had cable TV for years. In fact, it just occurred to me, we're going to talk about our favorite shows, our best TV of 2016.
You're going to come here. What are you going to choose from?
I'm just going to sit here silently and dry cough right. So you can hear me blinking. No, but funny enough, I was just realizing almost all the media that I consume now is via Netflix, is via Amazon, or, and this is my big one, is YouTube. Almost all the shows I watch now are YouTube shows.
Huh.
And I hadn't even considered the fact that those were considered quote unquote TV, and yet I use my MacBook and my Apple TV, and I stream those YouTube videos to my TV, and I watch them on TV, and that's almost all the content I consume now. So I do have some shows that I'm going to PIMP because I'm gonna bring up some of my favorite YouTube shows, and I think one of them at least is going to surprise you guys. It surprised me when I started getting into this one show. I was like, this is truly the power of YouTube. One of the best inventions of modern times. They are democratizing the creation of media in such a way that anyone can do it. And one of the shows that I'm watching now just absolutely would not be possible in any capacity, in any way, if it weren't for YouTube. And I think that is amazing. I just think YouTube is one of the most amazing things of our time. And it continually is changing too. And it's going to continue to change, over time. And it's going to be amazing. And eventually I think it's just going to be all that people watch. I don't think there's going to be a reason to watch cable TV because all that stuff's just going to be available on demand online. Like what Netflix is doing, right? I mean, actually, mm-hmm. I think that's all the Apple news that we have this week. So I'm segueing here. We might as well start talking about the best TV of 2016. And it's interesting. I mean, I haven't heard what your picks are, but I'd be surprised if I was the only one that picked a show that was produced by Netflix or by Amazon. Maybe Leander, because you actually have cable. So Leander, why don't you kick us off since you've got 85 picks, and then we can just kind of go in a circle until all of our mouths.
Well, yeah, actually, funny enough, it was all the stuff I watched that I enjoyed was on Netflix. Most of it
was it produced by Netflix?
Well, produced by Netflix. What they do is, in the case Peaky Blinders was one of the shows that I really enjoyed.
That's a British comedy, isn't it?
Well, not a comedy. It's a drama show. It's like the British version of Boardwalk Empire. It's about a criminal gang in Birmingham in the what era is it? Like in the just after the First World War, so in the 20s. And I think it was, I'm not sure. I think it was shown on British TV, and then Netflix, picks it up, and then they bring it to the US, and they claim it's a Netflix production. But I'm not sure they had a hand in financing it. But anyway, yeah, Peaky Blinders is one of the shows. Sherlock as well, another one I watched.
I've been meaning to watch that one for a while. I haven't gotten into it yet.
Yeah, I'm way behind on Sherlock. But
that's with Casper Nick Blundercrack, right?
Right, yeah. He says his name sounds like a fart in a hot tub. Benedict Cumberbatch.
As a connoisseur of such things, I can say that's actually quite accurate.
Right. And people have been fans of this forever, and I actually, ignored it. And I saw a couple of episodes, and I didn't like it a couple of years ago. And then I just got into it, and I thought it was, it's a really great show. Very, very entertaining.
What season are they on now?
I haven't got a clue. I think they're coming up to...
I think they're on season 4?
Yeah, something like that. The seasons are strange because they were really short. They were only 3 episodes and an hour and a half each. So for the first 3 seasons, I think. I don't recall. But yeah, they're coming up on the new season. The new season's supposed to be a lot darker.
Sherlock. All right. Well, I know you have more, but let's do some round robin here.
Have you got another?
No, no. We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you. Since apparently all you did this year was watch TV. All right, Lewis Wallace. What do you got for us?
All right, I'm going to have to say it. It's Leander's going to go ballistic. I've been watching Walking Dead.
In this life now, you kill or you die. Or you die and you kill.
Still love it. Still love it. I guess...
No spoilers. Okay, this is going to be spoiler-free, by the way, for everyone wondering, because I haven't seen the newest season. I'm not even ashamed to say that. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to, but I want to binge. I want to get the entire thing ready. And then I'm going to jump in there, and I'm just going to go crazy.
So you got up to the cliffhanger then?
Oh, man. One of the all-time most suspenseful, jarring, upsetting cliffhangers I think I've ever seen in television history.
Rubbish.
This was last season. What season are we on now? Is it six?
It cut them in half. What is it, like six? I think this is season seven, and they just showed the last episode of the first half of season.
Oh,
I can't keep track of the numbers.
Right, right. I heard that show actually, the viewership for it is actually going down.
Plummeting.
I think the show is getting better.
Yeah, I thought that cliffhanger was... I didn't have a problem with the cliffhanger. I thought it was slightly mean to the viewers. But hey, you know, what were people talking about all year? And I don't know. I don't diss them for that. I mean, there's a lot of sort of driving around waiting to get to that cliffhanger. I mean, I feel like they've kind of extended some of the shows longer than they need to, but I don't know. I thought it was great. And then when
you mean in season six, you thought they drew it out too long?
Well, yeah. I mean, like the last episode of that, I think it was the last episode of that season, right? I mean, it's like get in a van and drive. Oh, look, there's a dead end. Oh, look, there's
a
dead end.
But okay, hold on. We can't talk too much about it, but. but they were masterfully building up the suspense. I mean, it was just one thing after another in that episode that made you be like, "Oh man, I seriously did not understand this group and you know and what they were capable of."
Right.
You know. So by the end, I think you have an understanding of wow, our friends are in for more than they thought they were in for.
Yep. Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree, but it was also kind of a lot of driving around a van, right? Or RV.
Yeah,
but that's true. But anyway.
Okay, Walking Dead.
Yeah, been loving
that.
I'm
not going to argue with you on that one.
I knew Leander would hate it. Leander and I have both been talking about Westworld, which, you know.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
I like Westworld, although I got to say, I keep kind of getting a little bit lost in it. And part of it is because they keep looping back and showing the same scene from a different perspective or the same scene playing out. And you know, I'll be the first to admit once in a while I nod off watching a show. And then you're like in this altered state of like, have I seen this? What's going on? You start to feel like one of the robots yourself, lost in some kind of loop.
I have a feeling that might have more to do with the medicinal plants you're smoking and less to do with the show itself.
No, it's not easy because it's got multiple timelines. And so, although so initially it is, you're like, well, what the heck? You know, what's going on here? It's not, you know, it every week, it didn't answer any questions until the last couple of episodes, and really not until the last episode. So it was a lot of episodes to go through, like, you know, wondering what the heck is going on. Although a lot of the fan theories, if you follow the fan theories, a lot of those, well, I don't want to give any, you know, my goodness, here we are in spoiler territory.
Yeah, don't give anything away. Don't give anything away. Yeah,
well, if people have been reading fan theories anyway, they're probably not going to, you know, it, I don't know if it's going to give that much away, but I found it really, that was a really, really interesting show. Although I'm not sure thinking back on it, it was more interesting to watch at the time, mainly because of all the questions that were unanswered.
Yeah. What is that an HBO show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like their next big thing, right? Because I know like they're probably going to start winding down Game of Thrones and...
Yeah, I'm really...
They need their next big thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Supposedly. And it's, you know, it's got Anthony Hopkins in it, who's great. It's
amazing.
High production value, big ideas, you know. And I don't know. I like the show. I kind of get the feeling it's a little bit like Lost. Like, you know, do they actually know what they're... where we're headed with this? I mean, I love the first season of Lost, thought it was awesome.
Probably one of the best seasons, actually.
Yeah. And then, but then as that show went on and on and on, it's just like, oh my God, you start to think, oh, well, all these things that they brought up, which are really cool ideas, but unfortunately they don't have a really cool answer or a really cool reason.
Right? This is what they would do. They'd bring up all these really high concepts, and then they'd bring you right to the point when they were going to answer it at the end of the season. And then the new season, they would start, and they'd be like, hey, all that other stuff? Like, don't worry about all that stuff. Here are all these new problems that we have now. And they would do that every single season. And so by the end of the show, you're left with this huge basket full of questions, and they don't answer hardly any of them. And it turns out it's just a magic place where magic stuff happens.
Right. Yeah. It was all a dream.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah, right. It's like, what?
The classic. What?
Although I did like the ending. I thought it was very heartfelt. But yeah, it left a lot to be desired. Okay, so you've got Walking Dead, you've got Westworld. I'm going to pitch one that is one of the only full seasons that I was able to watch this year so far. And it was one of those ones that, you know, like you start it and it just grabs onto your cojones and just holds on for the entire ride. And that was maybe a bad analogy considering this is a children's show. Stranger Things. Do you guys remember Amblin movies?
Yes.
Like those youthful, whimsical films that used to come out when you were a kid. They would make you feel like a kid. That is what they captured in Stranger Things. It is mature content and it's entertaining for everyone, but it comes from that like young perspective where the whole world is new, everything is strange, anything is possible. And then the story I thought was very good, and all like the strangeness that they were able to weave into it, and all the like the mystery, and I thought it was gripping from start to finish, and the actors were really good, those kids were great,
agreed,
and super well cast, and then of course I thought Winona Ryder was really good in it too, and it's on Netflix. You can watch the entire season. I watched it in two sittings. I think it's like eight episodes long. And it's like
who's
watching
the couch
one...
potato fun. Crikey.
It's like watching one Game of Thrones, or not Game of Thrones, one Lord of the Rings extended edition movie. You know, it's like 8.5 hours long.
Well, that's true, right.
Oh, dude, I love that stuff. I love long movies. And so for me, like to have, that's why I like to wait. And with Walking Dead, that's why I do the same thing. To sit down at the beginning of a journey and you know you have like 9 great hours of content ahead of you, you know, it's like, wow. You're like, no one bug me. I don't want to shower. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to sit here for 9 hours.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
And watch this.
Well, I don't have the luxury of that kind of time ever.
Well, I told you could split it up into two sittings. I mean, geez.
Only when you got the flu or a broken leg or something.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I don't feel well already. Oh, man. My ovaries hurt. Yeah.
Well, so, Lewis and I were both of the same opinion about that show.
What?
Well, what? Go on, Lewis. Tell him.
Well, I don't remember exactly what we came to an agreement on, but I thought that show was good, but... I was kind of shocked by how everybody's talking about how amazing and how sort of groundbreaking it is. Because to me, it was like a throwback to something good. But
it was a very good throwback too. I mean, the way like the aesthetic of the show, I thought was perfect for like that whole '90s era, that whole '90s milieu. They captured it perfectly.
Yeah, kids running through the woods by themselves, riding bikes. Oh my God, how will they ever get out alive?
Well, not just that, like but like the clothing and the way people spoke and the branding of the show. But I am with you. People hyped it up as the best thing ever. It was like that Italian restaurant on Yelp that I went to and ended up being like more like 3.5 stars than a 5. I thought that the show was really good and I really enjoyed it, but I don't think it was – it's not the best show I've ever seen. But
yeah,
I thought about Star Wars too.
Grow up when I grew up seeing all those things, maybe it was extra fresh and new. I mean, it just felt really familiar. Not bad. I liked it, but – not exactly.
Well, maybe that's part of it too. I mean, maybe because, you know, in the 90s you were in your late 40s. Like, you didn't capture that same youthful essence that I got out of it.
Oh, God.
Sorry, that was too easy. Yeah, that was too easy. Right. Usually I sling those Leander's way, so he's probably happy you're here.
I had to work it out, actually. How old was I in the late 90s? I ended up, you know, bailing on it. Like, I couldn't even bother to watch the last two episodes to find out what happened.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I hate to say it. Sorry, I found it like Lewis says, but I found it like it was, you know, it was a lot of stuff that was derivative from taken from
derivative
other places.
Derivative of what?
Well, you know, all those E.T. and you know, 80s, 90s movies, kids on bikes running around. There's a mystery that's really not that much of a mystery, a secret, you know, science facility.
Man, you just described like every Amblin movie I think I've ever seen. You just ruined them all for me. And you know what the key element is? Kids on bikes.
Right.
You betcha.
That's like the glue that holds those movies together.
It was a kind of charming premise, but, you know, I don't know. It wasn't strange enough. It wasn't suspenseful enough. It wasn't mysterious enough. I just found it really mediocre.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we shouldn't be surprised. It's universally loved.
Yeah.
Right? We should have guessed that. Why am I even surprised by this? Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
Of course, Leander didn't like it. Yeah, Leander was hoping for Stranger Things. And by stranger, he means more subtitles, people speaking languages he doesn't understand, people
long,
wearing monocles.
Long silences.
Yeah, long silences.
People,
yeah,
people looking out the window as they're on a train going through a
interminable
landscape.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, so I'm gonna give you guys my second pick. This is definitely something that you never heard of. So I have been watching a lot of YouTube shows, and over the last 10 years, there has arisen a new genre of, I almost want to call it reality TV, because that's really kind of what it is, but it's more reality than reality TV on cable, because it's people who are making their own shows. Then they're called vloggers, which I'm sure is a word that you guys have heard. It's something that Casey Neistat, you know, was, and I bring him up because he was one of the most popular vloggers. Well, this guy that I have been watching, his series, his channel, well, I guess his YouTube name would be the easiest thing to use to find him. It's Boogie2988. I'm sure you guys have never heard of him, right? Boogie2988. This is a 400 to 500 pound dude. 400 to 500 pound dude, right? He's got a ton of health issues, and he's one of the most articulate, charming personalities on the internet. Hmm. And I don't even know how I found this guy, but he talks about movies, he talks about video games, he talks about comic books, a lot of stuff that I'm interested in. And he's so good at describing things and talking about his opinions on various topics that he's just a joy to watch. I mean, he's just absolutely charismatic. He's like the Lando Calrissian of 500-pound dudes. And then he also weaves in a bunch of conversations about his health issues and how he's dealing with his health issues, how they affect his life, what it's like living as like a 400, 500 pound guy. And I just find it to be hugely entertaining. He releases one video a day, 5 days a week. And then he also weaves in some like, some like sketches where he plays like this like angry fat guy character where the guy is just pissed off about everything, and he goes on these rants about different topics. It's like Leander, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like
sounds
what Leander does,
alley.
Except he's bigger than you and he screams more, and he does like angry rants about stuff, and I watch his show every single day, and you know, I miss them when I don't have an episode to watch. I actually miss, and I'll go back and rewatch old episodes of his. It's totally bizarre, but I think it's the future of entertainment. I mean, it's like, and I can probably list off 5 other channels that I watch on YouTube on a regular basis, and this is the content that I mostly consume now. And it's great because all these people talk about products, they talk about technology sometimes. So it's just like a variety show. You get a huge mix of stuff that you may be interested in. And it's amazing on YouTube. Like just the other day, I ran across this channel, this little kid. He's like 14. Maybe he's older. He might be 16. And he's got like 4 million subscribers. And you will run across people like that all the time who you've never heard of in your life. And then you find out that they have carved this niche for themselves and they have like millions of subscribers. Another great one, who I'm sure some of our listeners will have heard of, H3 Productions. Super duper funny. It's just this guy and his wife that do videos and make sketches and stuff. They do social commentary too, of, you know, about just, you know, popular topics of our time in the United States anyway. And love his channel as well. And that's primarily what I watch these days when I'm not watching, you know, Star Trek.
You should draw up a list. It sounds kind of interesting. I never heard of any of these folks. I know the kids are into this kind of stuff, but I think I talk about.
I don't think it's just kids anymore. I think it used to be just kids, and there are kids on there that, you know, have huge kid followings. Like this kid that I was watching yesterday that I said I stumbled upon. Like the video he was doing was like him getting his like his brand new Land Rover like pimped out by some wrapping company. And he's got like this like $90,000 Land Rover and he's having it wrapped and repainted. It looks like Pimp My Ride style, right? And they're doing all this crazy stuff to his Land Rover. This kid's 16 and I'm like, dude, this kid has like 4 million subscribers. He's making so much money from YouTube that he's able to have a brand new Land Rover and get it pimped out, and that's all he talks about on his videos now.
And was that entertaining? Are we like,
I didn't find his videos entertaining, you know, because it's like this kid's 16. He's talking about how awesome it is to be in this new Land Rover. And so I didn't find that content compelling, but I was looking through his comments and he had a really active viewership and they were all super into his car and what he was doing to his car. So, you know, his audience found it to be entertaining.
Yeah, funny.
So
it's funny because that's a big key to it, I think, isn't it? Is the sort of personal connection, the interaction. That you know, the feeling of connection to that particular, you know, performer.
I think that's right on the nose. Yeah, I think that's true. And you know, I think the same goes for podcasts. I know a lot of people, you know, who listen to this show probably despise us, but there's probably a few who are like, you know what, I like these guys. We'll listen to them talk about anything. And I've always heard that. Podcasts are personality driven. Like people listen to them because they like the personalities. I hate even using that word, but like the people that are on the podcast. Yeah. I think you're right. It's the same with YouTube videos. Like if you find a 450-pound guy charming,
right,
you'll listen to him talk about anything. Yeah. You know?
How many followers does he have?
He's got almost 4 million.
Really?
Right. And that's crazy, right? I mean, that is truly amazing. If you think about that, here's a guy with a ton of health issues. He was barely able to hold a job before this.
Wow.
And now he's making a great living on YouTube, and he is providing a show that tons of people love, and he's making content that people consume. I mean, that is amazing. Mm. Where else in history could this have been possible than right now? And I always tell people, I'm kind of going off on a tangent now. I'm going to stop in just a moment. start the 10-second countdown clock. People ask me sometimes, you know, where is YouTube? Is it too late to start a channel? And I think I point people to this guy and I'm like, if this guy with all these problems in life can do it, I think anyone can. I mean, how could you make an excuse if there's this guy with, you know, 400 pounds of extra meat on him, you know, and all these like aches and pains and health issues. Like if he's able to do it, man, I think anyone can make a YouTube channel. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Leander, why don't you wrap us up here? What are you, What else you have for us?
Two more shows, okay? Two quick ones. OJ, The People versus OJ Simpson. Did you see that?
No, but I heard great things about that one.
That was superb. Superb television.
That was like a mini-series,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. A great cast of actors, including John Travolta, Sarah Paulson, Cuba Gooding Jr. as OJ himself. He was probably one of the weakest links, although it's not really fair because, you know, how can you play... you know, someone who's so famous, you know, without drawing criticism. But it was a recreation of the investigation, the trial. And my God, in fact, you know, the first opening couple of minutes of that show were super gripping when they come across the crime scene and the cops investigated in the dark and in silence. And just from that minute on, it was like, I thought, gripping TV. And it's by turns, you know, fascinating and tragic, and a great, you know. It was really, because it's, you know, I remember the case so vividly. It was...
As do we all.
Yeah, and living through it and being completely dumbfounded, you know, and flabbergasted at the outcome. find it totally unbelievable. And this show, I think, puts it in perspective. And I haven't seen the other show. There's a documentary that was first aired on ESPN that I think is 4 or 5 parts, which is supposed to be even better. So I'm looking forward to watching that. But I haven't seen that one yet. The other one is The Crown, which is another Netflix show.
I should be writing these down, huh? People versus O.J. Simpson, The Crown.
The Crown is this is a Netflix original production. This is $100 million they put into this, apparently. And it's about...
Jeez. Wow!
Yeah, it's about the Queen. And they're going to be doing this. It's about the...
Of course, this is the one you save for last, of course.
I hate the Queen.
This is just typical.
I hate the Queen.
It's about the Queen.
I hate the Queen. I hate the Queen. I am firmly anti-monarchy, grown up in Britain, the wrong side of the tracks. Like, the Queen represented everything that was wrong with British class society, and everything I hated. So I grew up with a fervent hatred of the Queen and everything she represented.
But want to be her butler?
Well, no. This I think it's just great drama. It's great writing, it's really fascinating. And it's almost I was talking to my son about this. One of his favorite shows is The Wire, which is about drug dealers in Baltimore.
Oh, man, that show was so depressing.
Yeah, right. But it's about institutions and how they chew people up, right? Like anybody who tries the institution, the police, the schools, unions. Over the several seasons, it focused on a different institution, city hall, politics, and then how hopeless it was for anybody to really sort of change these institutions, especially from the inside, and how the institutions chewed them up. And this is exactly the same. It's like the institution of the monarchy, and how this young woman who was in her early 20s when she became unexpectedly the queen, how she was molded by the institution of the monarchy, the queen, and how she had to fit into it, and all the demands it put on her and her personal relationships. And of course, it's very much a very gilded view. It's pro-royalty. It's generally pro-royalty, but it's also sly. It's a sly criticism. You can see them at their worst and their worst behavior. It's beautifully written. It's the writing is very, very clever, and you can see the mechanics of the writing in the plotting and the issues that are brought up. And it's it often references. It's kind of circular, so things that are brought up early in an episode are referenced later on. And so it's like good literature. You could just sort of see the intelligence and the smarts of it are really stunning, I thought.
Is it a newer show? Did it just come out?
Yeah, it's just been released. Yeah, so it's
amazing, isn't it? Netflix. I mean, they have so many shows coming out all the time now. So does Amazon.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And a lot of them are really, really good, aren't they?
Yes, it's like one great show after another, and then of course there's the format, and they just dump 10 episodes in your lap.
Right, and you can watch the whole thing.
And you get to binge watch it.
Perfect for you.
Perfect for me. I'm like, oh, sweet. I have nothing to do for 16 hours except do this. This is going to be so great. I mean, who doesn't love to just sit and binge? Even if you can't do it very often, Leander, isn't it the greatest feeling to know?
Well, yes and no.
You have like 8 episodes ahead of you.
The Crown is one of the ones I binged on, so I watched it all sort of back to back. And there's definitely a pleasure in that, because you can see how they thread together. And it keeps a lot of the, it keeps it fresh in your mind. But with Westworld, one of the pleasures of Westworld was watching it week after week and then going and looking at the recaps and looking at the spoilers and seeing the theories and being involved in that aspect of it, which is a sort of offline discussion. And you feel like you're part of a cultural moment. And this is what people are saying about that, the binge watching. Because I remember, like, when I was a kid Harry Potter, not Harry Potter, my God, Dennis Potter, The Singing Detective, was a huge, huge show. It's in the late 80s. You would never have heard of it. They actually did a remake with Steve Martin, I think. But it was a serial in the UK that played over 7-10 episodes. But for some reason, it caught the entire nation's imagination. It became something that the entire country watched for that 10 weeks, and was discussed, in the papers, was on TV. And, like when you talk about a cultural moment, that was definitely a cultural moment. Everyone was obsessed with this show. And this is what's missing, I think, from from the binge watching thing, is that you sort of watch
it.
I've
never considered that.
You watch it in isolation, and so if you're lucky, you get someone else. You watch it with some friends or some people around you. But it doesn't, the whole culture isn't engaged with it.
That is a very good point, and I had never thought about that. And you're right. Like even when Lost was on, they had like the Lost podcast in between the episodes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so the whole culture is talking about what happened in the episode and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think a week is too long, though. I mean, because, you know, if you wait a week, sometimes you don't remember exactly what happened between the episodes. And so I think what Netflix needs to do, that we just figured out their master plan for them.
Are you listening, Reed Hastings?
Somebody at Netflix, if you're listening to this, you need to release an episode like over a period of time, like maybe every 3 or 4 days. So like people can have a few days chat about it with other people and then release another episode. So you're not making them wait quite so long, but you're giving everyone the time to let them marinate in that one episode and talk to their friends and listen to the podcast and what have you, and then go back into the next episode. What do you think?
Yeah, especially if they put in, you know, they could do all sorts of stuff with their phone, put up a notification, you know, remind you that it's coming. Perfect. And all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know. You know, they've definitely been wedded to this, you know, dump the whole thing in one go. And I actually find it kind of intimidating because, you know, some shows that I kind of enjoyed, like House of Cards, you know, when I watched the first season, I didn't like the last episode. I thought it was kind of ridiculous. And then when the second season got dumped, I looked at it and I was like, 10 hours. And I was like, oh no, can I face this? And I couldn't. So I haven't watched it. I thought, you know, like commitment. It's like looking at a big fat book, isn't it? And like, even if,
term paper.
Yeah, you know it's going to be a big commitment to get through the whole damn thing. So
that's actually, man, you're on fire. That's another good point. Even with Stranger Things, I was looking at it and I was like, man, you know, like this is a lot of episodes. But the reason I ended up watching Stranger Flings over other shows is because it was only 8 episodes rather than like 16 or something.
Yeah, right.
So I knew I could finish it in 1 or 2 sittings, and that's why I ended up going with that one. But yeah, it's kind of like you get performance anxiety, right? You're like, I don't know if I can do this.
I don't know if performance anxiety is the word I would use.
I think it should be, though. I think it should be. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That would be, we'll keep all
Hold
the,
on, I didn't get a rant about why I hate Walking Dead.
No.
You had your opportunity. we missed it. Oh, you know, we'll definitely put that in next week. Just remind me, and we'll make sure that we do a whole segment. Well, the whole last, like the bonus track of the show will just be
okay. We're gonna need about 15-20 minutes for that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I wanted to give you the extra time for next week. But I don't know what top list we're gonna be doing next week, but we're working up to the best gadgets of 2016, which is gonna be my personal favorite because there's so many great gadgets that came out this year. And we'll be sharing those with you along with our other top 2016 picks before the end of the year. Alas, that's all the podcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, we would love to hear from you. I'm at Aerofon Busters. Buster's BST3R. He's not even here. Leander is L. Caney. Lewis Wallace is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation. You're going to hear all week long new episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys, Lewis, not next week, not next year, but
later.
I'm mortally offended.
I guess I don't ever make it to the very end.
I was going
to
say that, yeah.
I think we just figured out the problem.
Bing, bing.
Okay.
Hello. Yep.
We all here?
I think we're all here. Oh, look who's joining us. We're very lucky, Lewis. It's Leandita. I'm here to talk about the Apple news.
Sehr gut.
They're so good this week. Who wants to share my bratwurst? It's so huge. I can't eat it all.
And the kraut is so spicy.
Oh, spicy kraut. It's so spicy, it's making me sweat. Ha ha ha.